Okay. Evergreen School District, Friday, March 20, 2020. This is a special board, special meeting of the Board of Trustees. We are calling to order at, let's see, what time is it? 1:07? We're gonna call this to order. And please note that this meeting is via Zoom or conference, and the public may join. They should see the information on the agenda where and how to log in. First, we will have our roll call. Trustee Mace.
Here.
Trustee Hanson.
Here.
Trustee Corpus.
Here.
Trustee Zito.
Present.
Lila Welch, present, and our superintendent, Dr. Flores.
Here. Here.
Okay, everyone's here. So if you have a flag in your office, you may stand and salute it, but we are going to recite the Pledge of Allegiance. So if you will join me right now, begin. I pledge allegiance
to the flag
of the United States of
America
and to the republic which stands,
one nation,
under God,
indivisible,
liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thank you so much. So we're going to have matters from the public, but I need to read this information before we start. Welcome to the Board of Trustees meeting. All meetings are open to the public with the exception of closed session. Members of the audience who wish to address the board on any subject on tonight's agenda or doing matters from the public are asked to call in and wait to be called on to address the board. Because this is a video and telephone conference, there's no need to come to a podium, but we will give each person a limit of no more than 3 minutes and a maximum of 15 minutes to each subject matter to be invoked at the discretion of the board. The public may also speak to the board on subjects not on tonight's agenda during matters from the public, providing the topic falls within the subject matter jurisdiction of the board. Remarks must be limited to no more than 3 minutes and a maximum of 15 minutes to each subject matter to be invoked as at the discretion of the board. As an unidentified item, no response is required from the board or district staff, and no action can be taken. However, the board may consider the item for a future meeting. Evergreen School District Board of Trustees meetings proceeding are audio recorded. Audio recordings of the proceeding are posted on the district website at weesd.org under board meetings. Official minutes are written, recorded, and approved by the Board of Trustees. Approved official minutes are also posted on the district website under board meetings. Okay. 2.1, comments from School Employee Associate, CSEA, chapter president.
I spoke with Pauline earlier. She said she's not gonna be here.
Okay, thank you.
Seeing there is none, 2.2, comments from the Evergreen Teachers Association, ETA president.
Hi, hopefully you can hear me. I've got the audio on my phone and then the video on the computer. I will attempt, can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Good. I will attempt to be brief because obviously these are very difficult times and we all need to be focusing on taking care of ourselves and our families and our communities. I would like to thank everybody involved in making this happen remotely so that we do not have to come in contact with each other. And it's not because I don't like you, you know what I mean. I have to express concern about the fact that this meeting has been called to do one thing and one thing only, and it's the emergency resolution, which is looks to me to be boilerplate language, which I received wearing my trustee hat from Bonnie wearing her executive director of Santa Clara County CSBA executive director. And there doesn't appear to be any attempt to make this specific to Evergreen, which concerns me. Now, switching hats to being a union president, I am concerned that nowhere in this document does it talk about consulting with bargaining units because of the potential implications that could come out of some of this. I realize you don't have to, and I realize some of you don't even much listen to me anymore, and I'm going to be gone in 3 months, so you won't have to in this role. Just lastly to say what this worries me greatly and increases the likelihood that I will be working with executive board to file a demand to bargain around much of this stuff. So everybody take care of yourselves, stay safe, and I'm done.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Wheatley. 2.3, comments from the public.
Leela, this is Suzanne Lima. Can I say something?
Sure.
Okay. Thank you. I kind of want to reiterate what Brian was just talking about. eBoard has talked for hours and hours and hours about all of the things that are going on with the closures and how we're going to best meet the needs of our students. Brian and I have talked several times to district cabinet about how we're going to do remote learning if it comes to that and all the hurdles that are involved in it. And I'm also concerned that this resolution seems to cut out teachers and the bargaining unit, because it's really easy to get information from maybe administrators and think, oh, this isn't going to be a problem. Teachers can totally do this. Unless you hear from the teachers and how it's going to impact them, you don't really know how it's going to all play out. So I do have the same concerns that Brian just talked about. We've so far been trying really hard to work the cabinet, and cabinet has been working with us. Decisions haven't been made, but we've been having lots of conversations. If we want to do what's best for our kids moving forward, I think you have to include the bargaining units. You have to include the teachers, and we have to be part of it. If there's any way to add something to this resolution where that's in there, it just saves us the trouble of if it turns out that we aren't being listened to and we have to file a demand to bargain, we can do that. It's just a whole nother layer of mess that we'll have to start doing. So I agree with Brian, and I would love to see somehow some kind of adjustment that says what we've been doing is talking. I would just hope that we can, when we start making decisions, we're part of that process too. That's it. Thanks.
Thank you, Suzanne. And we're still on item 2.3, comments from the public. Sam, I'm not going to have to rely on you because I don't know if there are public people out there that have logged on.
I'm looking for hands raised, and I don't see any of the attendees, so.
Okay, thank you, Sam. Okay, so we're going to move to items for discussion and action, section 3. By now, everyone is aware that Governor Newsom has declared a state of emergency due to the coronavirus, and I'm sure that all of our board members have had a chance to review the resolution. So because this came about from the Santa Clara County Office of Education to be immediately implemented by all school districts within Santa Clara County. And this resolution will enable school districts to implement emergency measures for the safety, the well-being, and the education of all our students. That's just to mention a few, but we need to be able to do what we need to do in this time of this pandemic. So we would like to entertain a motion for item 3.1, the approval of this emergency resolution delegating authority to take necessary action to protect students and staff from the spread of the coronavirus, COVID-19. Can I get a motion?
I'll do it, Leela. Bonnie.
Thank you, Bonnie. Is there any?
Second.
Okay. So there has been a motion to approve the resolution from Trustee Mace and second by Trustee Corpus. Is there any discussion?
Yes. This is Jim.
Proceed.
Am I recognized?
Yes, please proceed, Jim.
Okay, thank you. So I do agree that as a boilerplate, I understand the purpose of this resolution. We need to have quick response to whatever comes up. We need to give the superintendent latitude to make decisions that will be in the best interest of our students. There are a couple of things that I think are missing that probably could be easily added. One is that at the very end, it says the resolution shall become effective immediately upon adoption and shall remain in effect until repealed by the formal board action. I would like to see an addition to that saying, or the state of the emergency is lifted, whichever is sooner. We may not get to repeal it. I mean, depending on how the summer goes, depending on how long this lasts, I just want to make sure that we understand that this is an emergency resolution specific to deal with this particular emergency. And so to have a termination time, I think that would be prudent, and that it correspond to the length of the state of emergency. So we would add just, or the state of emergency is lifted, whichever comes sooner.
Okay.
So Lila, is that a friendly, Lila, this is Bonnie?
Go ahead, Bonnie.
Do you recognize?
Yes, you
so
are.
I'm the maker of the motion. So do you want to make that a friendly amendment, Jim?
Yeah, I'll make that a friendly amendment.
And okay. I'll accept that.
All right. Any other discussion?
The other would be, I understand again that what this is supposed to do, but we as a board are responsible for whatever happens in the long run. Do we want to put any kind of communication? It doesn't have to be part of the motion, but it could be an understanding that we will be kept apprised of any decisions that are made via email or, you know, or voicemail or text, so we understand what's happening. If we need to call another emergency meeting, we'll be able to do that based on information in real time.
Can we add that in the amendment? I think I personally don't have a concern. I think that we will be informed and updated as things go. But if you feel like we need to state that, I don't. What is the comments from the other trustees on that one?
So, Lila, can I be recognized?
Yes, you can, Bonnie. Please.
So I don't think it needs to be in the motion, but I do think that it just needs to be our understanding. And Dr. Flores has done an amazing job of keeping us updated every week on what's happening with everything. So I think it's just an understanding between the board and the superintendent that she will continue to keep us apprised of what's going on. And if there's such things as need our oversight, which of course we don't lose oversight, that she will bring those to our attention. Thank you.
Thank you, Bonnie, for confirming my feelings exactly. I think we have been more than updated on things that are going on in the district, and Dr. Flores has been very transparent and clear and has always given us updates weekly and sometimes daily. So
right.
I agree with Bonnie. Thank you.
And I agree with that as well. I just want to make it that it's an understanding.
Okay. Any other further discussion on this item?
Yeah. This is Marisa Hansen. Just make sure that Chris accepts the friendly amendment because he seconded the change. So okay. Chris has to accept it.
Thank you for that point of order, Trustee Hansen. So Mr. Corpus, do you want to restate your second with the change in the resolution?
Well, not yet. I had raised my hand, actually. Using this little thing here. So same thing is that I think we're getting too far into the weeds. This resolution looks is probably vetted by quite a few knowledgeable folks, including lawyers, no doubt. Part of this would be that we allow for trust that things will happen accordingly. And so far they have. So even though I see the perhaps a reason why we would have a friendly amendment. On the other hand, I don't want to be rude, but it's a bit specious because it sort of also says that we will, you know, just get together and say, okay, let's have a party. It's all done. So anyway.
So you have to make a decision, Chris, on whether or not you accept the friendly amendment. And if you don't, then we have to vote on the main amendment and make a decision.
So you, Chris, you need to accept the part that Jim added about it will be lifted if the state of emergency is lifted.
Could I get Dr. Flores to weigh in on it?
Well, let me go back to Chris first, and then
We have to get Chris to agree
because of the point of order.
We can discuss it if you know he. We
well, Chris needs to agree to the approval of the motion.
Well, yes, but we haven't closed the discussion on the original motion, or have we?
Now the friendly amendment becomes the discussion. Unless you say no, I don't agree with that, then we go back to the main motion.
No, then you vote on the second. Then you vote on the amendment as an unfriendly and see if it gets added.
Okay.
Hey, you know what, folks? Let's just move on. I'll go ahead and accept the friendly amendment. It really doesn't matter either way. It just slows things down.
Exactly. So I take that as a yes, Chris?
I accept the friendly amendment for
another
reason, just to keep things moving along.
Thank you. Is there any other discussion on this motion with the agreement, the friendly agreement? Okay. No. So can I call for the question? Are we ready?
Sure.
Yes.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, Trustee Mace?
Aye.
Trustee Hansen?
Aye.
Trustee Corpus?
Certainly.
Trustee Zito?
Yes.
And Trustee Welch, yes. It passes with a 5-0, and that resolution has been approved. Okay. Moving on to item number 4, future meetings, April 9, May 14th, June 1st, May 9th, and August 13th. Item number 5, informational items. Dr. Flores, do you have any?
Yes, in reference to the resolution, so you know, my personal feelings in this is that I don't have any opposition to any language on adding anything that says that this is the termination of the time will correspond with the timeline of state of emergency. And as far as communication, for me as a district leader, it goes without saying that that's a commitment that I make not only to our Board of Trustees, but also to our community as we keep folks informed throughout this, throughout the year, but especially now, given that we have so many developments happening from day to day and even within the day. So that's that. I also want to let you know that, you know, we are getting many calls from our community in regards to the situation. As you know, we are currently serving meals at every school, and our community has shown great appreciation for the commitment that our school district has to children and families. And we will continue to do that. As far as partnerships, we are working with other organizations to create larger partnerships where we're able to provide additional food to our families, such as Second Harvest, also working with First Five to help our families who need diapers and formula. So there's a lot of moving pieces happening, but it is our intent to continue to support our families through this difficult process. In terms of continuous learning, you saw the packets that we got out there, and those are probably good, but not in the long run. If this is something that will continue through the end of the year, and just for clarification, we have not been given any information letting us know that this is till the end of the year. That's what the governor is saying, but that it hasn't, no dead timeline has been provided to us yet by the County Office of Education. So right now we are hoping for 3 weeks, but we are preparing for the duration of the school year. Our educational services department is working very fast as we work with ETA as well as our administrators to put together a plan for distance learning. One of the greatest hurdles for us, but one that we know we will need to get over real quick, has to do with our readiness to provide instructional technology via online, and making sure that all teachers have the proper support. The training is key to us being able to be successful through this the next few months, should we need to close schools to until the end of the year. And so I will be giving you updates. Our Ed Services team is putting together a timeline that, of course, we need to work with our ETA folks to make sure that we're all on the same page and that we have an understanding of what we're doing. Some of the conversations have actually been very good. For example, one of the concerns that ETA had has to do with technology support in terms of someone having trouble using technology, a family, a child, or even our staff member. So the need for us to have a help desk is essential. Those are the type of things that we're talking. It's beyond saying, here's the platform, but saying, how can we make sure that this is a platform that supports all students and one where our teachers are able to be successful in. There's other things that, that of course, have to be discussed, and they are things that have to do with equity. What do we do for our students from low socioeconomic homes, families that may not have the technology support? We are coming up with solutions for that. What do we do for families that do not have a device or a Chromebook? We are moving, we have plans for that as well. So a lot of this, it's a lot of moving parts happening all at once, and a lot of change coming also from the County Office of Education and the state. And so the information that I've been providing to you is, you know, things are shifting along, and it's my intent to continue to keep you informed of any new developments. But know that it is our full intent, should this continue till the end of the year, to support continuous learning and to provide our teachers, our staff, with the training they need. Right now, I also, on a different topic, want to say that much kudos to our nutrition services team. They have been working very hard, making sure that our families have the meals that they need to be able to get through this. And so lots of, it's a great team effort, and they're doing a fabulous job. With that being said, you know, serving 18 schools, which is our full intent, it is becoming a challenge. So there may be a need to reduce the number of sites and increase the number of hours. But again, we play by ear, and we prepare for the best. Staff is out there, they are at an increased risk of being exposed, and we want to be sure that we're also giving them the right tools to be successful. Gloves and masks and sanitizers, we know that those are, the demand for those is high, and we're not always able to get access to those as we try to purchase them, and they're not always available. So lots of challenges, but just so very proud of our entire team for coming together and doing the very best during this difficult time.
Okay, thank
Lila,
you.
Lila?
Yes, go Lila, ahead.
Can I be recognized for a second?
Yes.
So Amy, Dr. Flores, I had a few questions about donations of gloves and eyewear and things like that. Is the district, if people want to donate supplies, is the district accepting them? And where can people donate?
Yes, we actually had a discussion about that, and Johanna has actually reached out to our PTA, and we haven't done a mass request, but it looks like we're going to be getting ready to do that, because it's got to be beyond the folks that we know personally. It's got to be beyond our council PTA. So that's something that we will get a message out to our community. We'll also put that on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. I don't have all that information with me right now, but I know that Johanna has organized some locations for folks to drop things off, but we'll get something out there for the masses. I know that we have a very giving community, and I do have confidence that members of our community will be able to help us with this.
And then the second thing is, this morning on the public health conference call, they mentioned that it's important to keep reimbursement records for the federal government when they reimburse for COVID-19 expenses. So is the district keeping like separate tabs on everything that they're doing for COVID-19 for reimbursement from the Fed perspective?
Yes, Ms. Purley, our CBO, is keeping all that information. And as cabinet, we meet throughout the day several times. Because things are shifting so fast, and that's all part of the discussion during that time. And she's also getting guidance from the county on that. So we've got this. We've got our documentation, and because we will be submitting for reimbursement for every penny.
Terrific. Thank you.
So if I could be recognized.
Yes, Ms.
What about this hand thing? I keep raising my hand.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Chris. Chris, go ahead.
I guess nobody sees the hand raising thing.
No, I don't see it, Chris, but go ahead.
just from the what the president of ETA said, and CSEA probably has a similar concern, as did a member of the public. So that so far everything is going well, but you know, should we need a memorandum of understanding, which helps allay any fears that the district's going to go off rail and do crazy stuff? Right now, it seems like, Dr. Flores and the cabinet meet with the teachers. I'm sure they meet with CSEA. But should we need to do something in writing, like an MOU, I certainly, maybe it's within the powers of the superintendent that we just granted that she can do that.
Yeah. Well, we continue to have discussions, and it's important.
Exactly.
Not only for the spirit of collaboration, but there are times that we're moving things, we're going so fast that there may be something that we didn't consider. And so we continue to have discussions. In fact, we're meeting this late this afternoon to talk. And yeah. So that's the spirit of collaboration. And but should ETA or CSEA make a demand to bargain, all we can do is do our very best and include our associations in discussions. Outside of that, I can't promise anything else.
No, that's perfect. I mean, so far, there doesn't seem to be an outcry of the fact that things have gone awry. But again, should it be necessary, I don't know if you would have to do a memorandum of understanding and then have to do this sort of virtual board meeting again, but not by the powers we just granted you.
Yeah. Thank you.
So, if
is that Mrs. Zito?
Yeah, just a data point. Don't take this any other way, but just to let you know, my son is in at MIDI, so they have been doing distance learning via Zoom since last Monday, and they are continuing with their classes just remotely. I know that's a far cry for 18 schools, But that is what's going on. And at the middle school that I'm at, they have been able to get all 415 students set up on Google Classroom. And the teachers are providing 3 hours a day of access, if you will. So students who are doing work can either email or call their teachers during a certain time period to allow them to help one-on-one with information and with lessons. Lessons are being submitted to Google Classrooms for students who have the access. Also, what's real important, and I think you might know this already, Dr. Flores, but Xfinity, and I think there's one other provider that is providing free internet access to anyone who wants it for the next 60 days. So if you need that information, I'm happy to forward on any information that would be helpful to you as far as overcoming some of these logistical challenges. So I've got a couple of points of reference, and maybe that it would be helpful, and I'm happy to provide that. Another point of information is that we have 415 or so kids enrolled in the school, and we're giving out lunches as well. And we started out with a couple of hundred lunches the first day, and then it went higher and higher. And now we're giving out more lunches than we have kids enrolled. So I could see that. I mean, because there is no requirement for having students in the cars or anything like that, which makes sense. I get it. But I know for a fact, and parents have asked, can I get lunches for a student that doesn't go to this school? And we've been allowing it. So just again, a heads up, just a peek at what's happening at other schools for whatever that helps or not. But information, if there's anything that I can do to forward any information that we've been doing, using at the other schools to help the logistics, let me know.
Dr. Flores, can you,
thank you.
Speak again to what the district is doing as far as trying to keep our students engaged in learning? I know there were some things that went out. Could you just refresh the board's memory?
Yes, so, you know, I don't think that anybody could have predicted that schools were gonna close, that we would be here where we are here on March the 20th. However, there was enough information out there that it may go there, maybe, maybe not. We also had families who were telling us that they wanted to keep their kids home, and they were very worried. So some time ago, we actually we had a cabinet meeting. We talked about the need to get going with providing continuous learning resources. Our our team in Ed Services met, and the leader of that is our own Karen Sanders and all our TOSAs. We also had some administrators and other folks who I helped. They pulled resources by grade level, by content area, as well as resources specifically to meet the needs of English learners at their different levels. They also looked at every school site to find out what additional resources they had via, say, licenses that they had purchased from their own school funds. And they gather all this information and in one place. In addition to that, they also put in place packets for every grade level. And so what we did, so on Friday, we found out that schools were being closed. By Saturday morning, Mr. DeGuerra was out at, I want to say FedEx or some printing place, I'm not sure where, and he went ahead and had packets printed for kids for every school. And so what we have been communicating to families is, because at this time it happened really quick, and we weren't, because we had planned, we had resources available to families on Saturday that they could click on online. And for those families that really don't have access to a printer or access to the internet, we went ahead and printed those. And all of those became available on Monday, and families have been picking those up at their site. Yesterday was the last day to pick them up. Now, we had one family who requested one packet today. We gave it to them. And so this was a quick fix for a temporary problem, and I'm very proud of the work that the team has done. The resources are there for any family to use. However, if we're looking at the possibility of closure of schools for the duration of the school year, that's where we will need to look at online learning. And so thus far, the support that our families have received has been through these packets, through these resources by grade level, by content area, on our website. I have to say as well that we have very dedicated teachers, and our teachers have been in communication with our families. Part of what's going on is the need for our families to feel connected, for our children to continue to feel connected to their schools. And sometimes a call to check in to see how the child is doing, what is it that you need, or and even to assign them some work. Those are the conversations that are taking place between our teachers as well as our principals that are also reaching out to families. So that's where we are right now. And that's the support that we've been able to provide. What was intended as a temporary fix, ultimately we will need to morph into the online distance learning. And our plan is to do that through a Google Classroom. And that's something, the details of that, you'll be getting soon. But you know, this is, we're building this plane as we're flying it. And that's where we are today.
Yeah. So are you saying that teachers are making themselves available to students to call in for academic questions?
Many of our teachers have already reached out to our students. I could not tell you that every single teacher has, but I know from talking to our principals and from some of the conversations that we've had, even with teachers, people reaching out, we know that that's happening. We know that our teachers many of them have even requested, can I get back into a classroom? Because right now, as you know, our schools are closed to the public. And so there is a want from our teaching community to support our kids. However, to say that as a district, we have one platform, we do not have that today. And that's something that we are working toward.
Okay, thank you so much, Dr. Flores. Any other informational items?
Just a question for Dr. Flores. I know that the educational needs look like they're being met temporarily, and then plans for the future. What about childcare, especially in our low income areas?
Okay. So we've had that discussion as well. We as a district currently don't provide childcare. We are not positioned to provide childcare. So that's not something that we actually are making available for our families. Childcare, if provided, would only be provided to essential employees, essential workers. And that would be not just our own staff that's out there still working, such for example, our CNS staff, but would also be to any other essential worker out there, such as nurses and doctors. Right now, we don't have the capacity to do that. We haven't provided childcare as a school district. And so we're not positioned to do that. That being said, when we have meetings, we have conference calls as superintendents, there are other school districts around us that are providing childcare, that have been providing childcare, and they're continuing to provide childcare, but it's modified because it's for those essential workers. So as a school district, no, we do not provide childcare. What we can provide is support through First Five, support through Second Harvest, but that's not childcare either. The First Five is providing diapers, is providing milk, what do you call it, formula, and other resources to family, but childcare is not one of them.
Any other information items?
Can I also say that when you provide childcare, you also need certain licenses, and we just don't have those as a school district.
Anyone else?
One more from Bonnie. So, Dr. Flores, I've heard this from other districts as well about the safety of school sites, because all the sites are closed down. There's no one there. So, just from your perspective, what are we doing to ensure that they aren't vandalized and that the sites remain safe when they're closed?
We have secured Well, we have increased our security hours, our folks that are out there, driving around, checking on the school. So we have increased that already.
Anyone else? Seeing that there is none, can I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
And second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The ayes have it.
Thank you, Dr. Flores.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
And thank you, Sam and Kim and Johanna.
Thank you, Sam.
Thank you, everybody. Bye.
Thank you all.
Bye-bye.